I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back, guys. DJ Ask. A few minutes past 4 p.m. Our buddy Rodney Boyd joins us. Hello, Rod.
Hey, how we doing, Dave?
Good, man. So just as a take off your political analyst hat for a minute, and just as a guy, tomorrow morning you tune in, you're going to watch the inauguration. What are you hoping for? What are you worried about?
You know, I'm actually hoping for some. I know it's hard for people to believe that this is possible, but I'm hoping for something sense of unity, right? I'm hoping for something that says, hey, look, the divisions are not, a house divided against itself can't stand. On these principles, let's come together. Let's put COVID under our thumb. Let's get the vaccines out. I mean, just a couple of things that no matter what your political ideology is, get focus on the things that we all can agree on. I think all of us want to get this pandemic behind us. I think all of us want to get some sense of the economy's opening again. And I think all of us want to get some kind of sense of that, you know, we're not going to have masks on this time next year and wondering, you know, about the uncertainty of the economy. So that's what I hope the focus is on, right?
Overall, what have you thought of his picks for his cabinet and otherwise?
Well, I just looked at the entire cabinet this morning, and I think he's picked some pros, professional people, people that know the job, people that can come in. I mean, some of this is when you got a guy who's been around D.C. for 50 years, you get this kind of, you get these picks, right? So I think everybody is qualified. I think people are sort of proved up in what they can do. And I think on day one, he's ready with a team that can begin to try to deal with some of these unprecedented challenges. Nothing that we're dealing with now is there really a playbook for in modern times, right? I mean, we've got a real economic cliff that we're dangling over the precipice of, and there's some challenges. So I think the cabinet writ large is full of people that I think have the skill sets. Now, they got to work with Congress, right? As you know, one branch can't really effectively dictate the course. So hopefully his folks, the professional team that it looks like he's assembled, will be able to go work with Congress and get some of these things done without it being another, you know, sort of showdown or series of economic cliffs because people can't get stuff passed because of filibusters or whatever. So my two cents.
Roddy, I mean, you earn your living as a political strategist. I believe that the Democrats are about to make a gigantic mistake and have made a gigantic mistake with impeachment. I don't like the president much. I was listening to his goodbye speech. I agree with him about all of his accomplishments. I think those were just ruined by his behaviors. I do lay the primary responsibility for the insurrection, the riot, whatever, at his feet. However, strategically, I think the president is about as low as he's ever going to be. And I think he's leaving, whether you agree with it or not, he's leaving under a very, very dark cloud. And people around him are becoming persona non grata in business and such. I think he's about as low as you can get right now. We all know what happened. We all know what he did and didn't do. We all know. You put this into a trial. I think it's going to be a bit like Rodney King. As you know, the evil brilliance of the Rodney King defense was, let's just show it over and over again, to the point that the jury becomes desensitized to it, and they don't see a man being beaten. They see hit number 38.5. Once you get into a trial, the president gets to mount a defense, and you get to hear all the reasons why he didn't incite this riot. and it muddies the water. And I just think that no one can just take yes for an answer. I think that the Democrats should let him leave in this under this dark cloud and just let it go. What do you think?
Well, I agree with you. And let me give you one perspective that I've thought about. If I'm Joe Biden and I've got the reins of power, both branches of government, do I want my first 2 weeks, which are really going to set the table and the tone, really, for the rest of, I think, the foreseeable future, right, on how people see him? Do I want my first 2-3 weeks to be consumed with a trial and the legacy of Donald Trump, or do I want my first 2 weeks to be trying to move some pretty magnanimous policy provisions through with the support of a unified Congress that looks like we're working together? I choose the latter. I understand there's a zeal for people who don't like Mr. Trump and they want to see him. But let me just tell you, you and I, you know, we both know this. There are a lot of ways that Mr. Trump is going to be held accountable for things for people who don't like him. There'll be all kinds of Southern District of New York cases. There'll be plenty of things to keep the Trump busy in his post-presidency. I just don't know that I would want to start my presidency with a trial of Donald Trump that could drag on for 2-3 weeks, maybe even longer.
Totally agree.
And I can't even now get my messaging out, get my footing established, get the, you know, there's a whole subset of people that said, okay, well, show us what you're going to do to make the nation better. Oh, we can't, because you got to tune in every day.
Yep.
And that vicious cycle, that vicious news cycle, and hear about this trial for the first 2-4 weeks. I wouldn't want it if I was the new president. I couldn't
agree more.
Hey, Rodney, it's Tony. We've all heard the reports of possible protests at state capitals. And in Missouri, I've heard that representatives in the House were not going to work tomorrow, but the Senate may tomorrow. Could you give us some insight on what's happening?
I can give you some real good insight, because I'm standing doing this interview from the state capitol.
Let's hear it.
And it is pretty laid back and calm and peaceful. Don't know what tomorrow will bring, but I'll be in the building tomorrow again, and the Senate will have committee hearings, and the House decided for a number of reasons to adjourn this week. The House also had a couple of members, I think a decent number of members, that had been positively or affirmatively COVID positive. So they had a lot of reasons to maybe use this week, and it's a short week. This was the MLK holiday week. So I think the speaker said, hey, let's just, you know, taking all things as we find them, let's just shut down this week. But the Senate is here. We committee hearings are going on. Meetings are going on today and tomorrow, and I'll be here. So I think there is a presence, a sizable presence of various law enforcement folks from different departments. But it seems like we'll be able to get through at least tomorrow. We'll see this week without any of the upheaval. And look, I mean, if I was in Michigan, I might be worried, right? If I was in Pennsylvania or somewhere like that, I might be a little bit more cautious about, and I'll be guard up tomorrow, but I'm not extremely worried about what's going to happen in the Missouri Capitol. I may regret that in a couple of days, but right now it seems like there's a sense of calm here.
Ronnie, you mentioned COVID touching the House. We talked a little bit last week about a story that I guess they passed a rule in the Missouri House this year that you don't have to wear a mask on the floor. Obviously, anything that is regarding COVID is controversial. Could you explain that action that was taken by House members a little bit and what
yeah,
the
I mean,
motivation
the,
behind
I think
it was?
I think that was consistent with the state and the administration not having a mask mandate, but having a mask recommendation. And I think that what they did in the House flowed from what the governor has done and basically said, we're not going to mandate it. You know, we're not going to make you, and you can. And if you look at the House floor, which most people can go online and look when they come back in session, you'll see half the House or a little bit more choose to wear masks. There are a lot of people in the legislature that have underlying conditions. They're over 60, and they'll probably be, you know, wearing masks. Young, more astute folks probably won't. But I think that what they did was really just took the state policy and said, we're not going to have a double standard where you don't have a state mandate, but we could do mandate in one of the chambers or mandate in the building.
Rodney, with the president leaving under this cloud and 2024 seems like a lifetime away, but the campaigns start pretty soon. What are the possibilities? What are the possible avenues for the Republican Party going forward?
I think the Republican Party is now going to have a sort of a realignment of who leadership is, because the cloud, right? So if the president had walked out of the White House, no cloud, no controversy, I think he could even still maintain the mantle of the de facto leader. but the cloud sort of clouds that up, right? So the question for the Republican Party now, as you go into the rest of this year, as you go into 2022, is who is the leadership of the party? If it's not Donald Trump, then who is it? And I think that's the first question that will have to be answered. For example, now that the Democrats have taken over the Senate because of the Georgia flip, even Mitch McConnell doesn't get to hold the mantle of the leader of the party per se. So I think there's some soul searching. We'll know very soon who will emerge through the balance of 2021. And then into 2022, there'll be a big fight to regain control of the House and Senate in 2022. As you know, every member of the House of Representatives is on the ballot and, you know, a big portion of the Senate. So the question, Dave, Tony, is who emerges now as the leader of the Republican Party? Do we continue in the vein of Donald Trump? Does someone like Ted Cruz take the mantle and become the de facto leader? Does somebody like, Romney now have a chance to come back, having been a former Republican nominee? I mean, so that's what I think that's what a lot of people are going to wait and see what happens.
So, Rodney, you have a lot of private conversations with politicians. Obviously, I don't expect you to let anything out of the bag that you can't. But are you having conversations with statewide Republicans who are saying, I don't know what to do? I don't know whether to renounce Trump. I don't know whether to embrace Trump. I'm just standing here.
I think that's a fair assessment. I think there are people that like they want to cling to the record. They want to cling to the successes. They don't necessarily want to cling to the personality. So I think it's a little bit of a sort of a pragmatic walk, one step at a time approach. Don't want to abandon what they believe and articulated, as you said, successful Trump policies, right? But they don't want to carry the mantle of the mess, the personality, right? They don't want to carry the darkness. So I think that's the job. Because remember, the president got over 71 million votes. So there are a lot of people that like the policies and wanted to give them four more years. And so I think the walk and the jog that people are going to have is how do you keep that constituency available to you on the policy side and not the personality side. So I think that's a very good way you framed it. People are looking to say, what do we do now with this base that is still ramped up and viable and will be voting again in 2 and 4 years that we can sort of not lose their support? At the same time, some of the darker elements of the president, we don't want to necessarily be accountable for. Now, that's, I think, the challenge. I think that's the sort of the bipolarity that a lot of the folks say, well, that want to that have aspirations are trying to wrestle with today.
Rodney, I'm real interested in the SAPA bill. What are the headlines in the early session that you are keeping an eye on or that are, you know, the biggest newsmakers that they're working on in Jeff City right now?
I mean, today, right now, there's a huge energy around education reform. I know we've been talking about this, Tony, for years, but this is one of the first times where I think there's at least a consensus in both chambers and in the governor's office. There's something appreciable in education reform. COVID revealed a lot of cracks in the system, right?
Charter schools be at the front of that discussion?
Charter schools is at the front of the conversation. Educational savings accounts is in the conversation. Teacher pay is at the, you know, teacher pay and parity for funding for charters and public schools. All those topics are being debated today, literally. Like they're the top of mind. There'll be a very robust conversation, guys, and this will be one to watch, you know, around sports betting. You know, a lot of states, when the system was opened up, jumped in and passed the bill. Missouri hadn't. The conversation will be around, do we bring sports betting in, and who has the say? Is it the league, the teams? There are conversations that we got to have about tax policy because we need to figure out whether or not we're going to reduce taxes and leave it there, or are we going to put new tax revenues in place like the Wayfair tax? That's the online streamlined sales tax. And how do we get more money into the state without raising taxes? And then finally, there'll be a really robust conversation about transportation. We have, the voters have said a couple times in our adult lifetime, they don't want to do anything on sales or gas tax. Things have failed, yet our infrastructure is crumbling. When I drove to Jeff City today, boy, I sure would like a new Highway 70 with a third lane that I wouldn't have to, like, wait for two truckers to decide if they want to move over. So, I mean, there's a lot of infrastructure, transportation issues, and those are all being bantied about right now.
All right, buddy. Thank you, Rod. We always appreciate your insight, man.
All right. Appreciate you guys. Lots to talk about in 2021. I look forward to being with you more.
All right, pal. Question. Reading a story here about a transgender physician who Joe Biden has named to a high level position. And every what I was doing while I was listening to Rodney and I was looking through this, every single news outlet is transgender. No one just says Rachel Levine has been named. So it's obviously important to people one way or the other. Where are you guys on this? And I'm going to give you some choices. Feel free to take a different one. But do you look at it as, okay, that's about time. We needed a transgender person in a big office of responsibility. Do you look at it as, hey, I don't care, so long as she's the very best doctor they could have had? Or do you look at it like, you know what, there's probably not that big a difference. She's not doing surgery on anyone. It's a political position. Let's give it to someone who's transgender because they haven't had much of a say. Where do you come down on all this?
If she's qualified, if they're qualified, then I don't care. I think that...
So you don't need her to be the best. Like, look, we have 20 names. She's number 18 on the list, but she's the only transgender person, so...
Well, I mean, I don't want them deciding because of that. I don't want that to be the deciding factor. But I'm sure that once you reach that level, you can find, you know... it's hard to determine who's the best.
Yeah.
She's part of that elite level.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's fine with me. I think this is not the point of the story or the question, so I don't mean to change lanes, but I think specifically with this nominee, there's some controversy that a story that is following her into this nomination.
What's that?
And I think that that's part of the reason that they're trying to distract and say,
okay,
you know what I mean? You know what I mean? Like, I think that they're trying to make it.
What's the story? What'd she do?
So check me on all this as
what'd
I'm going off
do?
The memo. She was the health director for the state of Pennsylvania, and she had put in a mandate that nursing homes had to accept COVID people who were who had tested positive or recovered or still
kind of a Cuomo thing
treatment. Yeah, exactly. So, and these people apparently were going back and forth from local hospitals, and at the time, something like 70% of Pennsylvania's COVID deaths were linked to nursing homes. So this was a very sensitive thing,
mm-hmm.
and she put this mandate in and said, "You've got to let these people into your nursing homes and things like that," at the same time that she pulled her own mother out of the nursing home system.
So a normal scandal.
A normal scandal.
Okay.
But people are saying, like, you know, I don't think she's the right person for the job because of these things.
So you think maybe the transgender thing gives her a little protection?
Or they could be using it as a little bit of protection in this particular...
I think it's just being reported because it's historic. There's never been a transgender person in this level.
And it should be. And it should be reported then.
Is
historic.
Yeah, if this were like the fourth transgender woman to have a position like this and they were like, guys, she's trans, then I would maybe be like, yeah, they're trying to cover up this scandal. But they could very well be trying to get rid of some of that smoke. But I just think you see it over and over again because it is historic.
Yeah.
Sue, thoughts?
I, of course, fall into the B camp, which is I don't really care as long as you get the best person.
Yeah, I've almost given up on getting the best person, if that makes sense, because I'm not even sure what that means.
Yeah, what is the best person?
And we don't have conversations about whether or not it was the best person whenever it's...
A white guy.
Yeah. Well, but seriously...
Probably a better white guy out there.
That's the only time we have the conversation on this show, at least. Whenever a white guy's elected, we don't go like, yeah...
Is he the best person?
Does it matter to you that he's a white guy?
Which is why I said qualified. Because I think that there is a... You can have an argument on who is the best.
Yeah.
I think that there are people... That are very that have
Was Ben Carson the best person to take over HUD?
Right.
What?
I think there are people that have impressive resumes.
He's a smart guy, but
that are in an elite group that are qualified for these positions. And as long as you're selecting from that pool of people, I think that's the most
important
thing.
And if you have the opportunity to break ground, why not?
Yeah.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites.
So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Welcome back, guys. DGS 430 on the dot. Dave Murray joins us. Hello, Dave.
Hello there.
That's pretty out there now.
Yeah, finally.
Yeah, it was dreary this morning. Gloomy. A little gloomy.
Yeah. It was like, people up here on the forecast go, yeah, sure, Dave. Yeah, it really looks like that. So, give it some time. Got to give it time to play out.
Next couple days, pretty nice.
Yeah, 2 great days coming up. It will be cold in the morning. It's January, but lots of sunshine. Windy tomorrow, so that's going to put a little chill in the air, but it's 50 degrees for the high. Warmest part of the day, 2:30 or so in the afternoon. Thursday, same story, not as windy, but again, 50 degrees. Cold front comes through. Thursday night, looks like it's coming through dry. Friday, mixed clouds and sunshine, back to 38 for the high. Saturday's quiet, 38. A lot of clouds around on Sunday, 45. There's no big cold, no big storms in sight.
Cool. Take that.
Yeah, every day that ticks by now is a little bit closer to the first pitch.
Yeah, I was going to say this to someone, and I didn't want to say it out loud, but now I will in front of a few 100,000 people because I didn't want to jinx, but it's been a pretty easy winter so far.
Yes. Yep. That's exactly what I thought it would be. And I still think that winter as a whole should be fine as far as getting through it. Little concerned that spring may be a little delayed.
We'll worry about that when spring comes.
That's right. That's a different one tank trip.
Kidding me.
Dave, is there any... I was having a conversation earlier today with someone about planting grass seed, and they said,
it's
a great time to do that, in the winter, because you want to get that down, and then hopefully that snow will come and kind of pack it in. The person then said,
I've never understood this.
Yeah, then the person shrugged their shoulders and said, if we ever get any snow.
Ever get snow.
Are we going to ever get any snow?
That person's hilarious.
It's still too early. But boy, a snow comes in late February, March. Yeah, if we're expecting snow, throw some grass seed down. It's a great time to do it.
Really?
Because it does. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because it works it into the soil. But if you do it now, and let's say you threw it down and it was going to snow, and then the snow melts, the only things that's going to be happy are the birds, because it's going to be thank you for a wonderful dinner.
Could you do zoo news? It's kind of zoo news.
And it goes like
a professor claims he has 100% solved Loch Ness Monster.
Really?
Yes. He says that he has absolute proof, which he's going to present. It's a real guy. He's a real professor. It's a giant turtle.
That's what he says it is?
A giant turtle?
The biggest turtle?
That's been out there before.
It's a cool giant turtle. Because he says it's...
I think it's an underwater elephant myself.
Underwater elephant walk.
He's a scientist.
Yeah. Capital S.
Boy, Dave can ruin a segment. Hey, guys, get this. I've already heard that, and here's something more interesting. It's a giant underwater spider.
Watch it be an
underwater
elephant.
It's an amphibious
elephant.
Giraffe.
What do you mean underwater
Watch
elephant?
It be.
I mean, I know about
Watch
those words,
be.
But...
Well, because every picture you see, it just has this like little snout above the water.
Oh, so you have
so
no
I'm
reason.
Thinking it's a prehistoric elephant that hasn't developed to come out of the land yet. Still has fins and stuff.
Him shy.
So he puts his...
Him's got social anxiety.
This is it. This is where you say hello. I can't do it.
Well, that is a long-necked turtle then, Dave.
Yeah,
I mean, is that what this guy says?
He says it's an ancient turtle. I'm assuming it's not the turtle. I'm assuming it's like the grandson of the turtle.
This guy looks like Frank Ladd.
This guy looks just like Frank Ladd.
This guy, professor looks like Frank Ladd.
Okay, I'm coming.
This guy looks identical to Frank.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my goodness.
That's Frank.
Guys.
It's Tony's.
That's
Tony's
the same glasses. Glasses.
We have found Frank's real father.
Oh, my goodness.
Dark. Yeah, that guy.
Somewhere Frank's real dad was like,
this
hey.
Was not the man that left your mother.
Frank's current family, illegitimate.
Yeah, so he thinks back during the last ice age, which I think was like 10,000 years ago. Mm-hmm. Tippy the turtle got stuck in there. I don't know where he found another turtle to do it with, but.
Details.
Yeah.
Maybe
he nailed that underwater elephant.
I was just going to say, maybe it was just a large underwater elephant he found.
Ooh.
Ooh.
What?
This is just a thing I saw. I didn't see it on TikTok because I don't have TikTok, but the story was reported on TikTok. Mm-hmm. Just a guy. Mm-hmm. But it's interesting. What do you guys think happened to Mufasa's body?
Mufasa.
The Lion King character?
Hyenas.
No. The President Mufasa. Yes, the Lion King character.
I don't know. It's a fake cartoon. I didn't know if you were asking me what happened
Talk
to the cartoon.
Talk about me
body.
Ruining a segment.
Thank you, Dave. Jeez.
I think after the wildebeest trampled him,
yes.
The hyenas went and drug him off and
I agree.
Had him for din-din.
So this guy says, I did the research. Hyenas don't eat lions, even dead ones. And lions eat other dead lions. And then there's a scene I didn't remember where Scar is sitting there and he's got the skull and he's like making it talk. And then he looked it up and sure enough, it's a lion skull.
Mm-hmm.
So his theory is that Scar ate Mufasa.
Yeah.
Be awfully dirty.
Yuck.
Awfully dirty after all the trampling, right? Get all that dirt and dust on it.
Well, I mean, lions don't usually eat clean things.
Yes.
I guess.
No one has a sink.
There's vultures and other things over there in that.
No, it was Scar.
That's true.
I also thought that it was heavily implied that whenever Simba and Nala were stuck in the elephant graveyard, that the hyenas wanted to eat them.
Yeah.
Yeah, I always took that, too.
Right? Yeah.
Maybe it's not the most scientific of cartoons.
Yeah, well, I mean, none of Lion King is that scientific.
Yeah, they do talk.
I would think.
They do talk.
He brings up a good point.
And also there's some magic involved at some point, I think.
Speaking of documentaries, Rachel's already tired in one morning of hearing me talk about this.
Documentaries.
But. Did you like that?
I did.
I didn't catch
that. Was well
great
done.
Great segue.
Yeah. Spoiler alert. If you plan on watching The Food That Built America, Rachel, if you want to go to the bathroom, I'd feel terrible because I've already done this once. But The Food That Built America on History Channel is fascinating. Fascinating.
Huh.
And here, little spoiler alerts. Did you know that Kellogg's came from this sanitarium where rich people used to go to, like, get their feet slapped and stuff? And the Kellogg's brother, who is supposed to be mentally challenged, they would make this cereal stuff. And he was like, we should sell this. And the doctor's like, shut up, idiot. And one of the guys who was there, but he couldn't afford it, so he had to work in the kitchen, was C.W. Post, as in Post Toasties.
Yeah.
And he straight up stole it and became a gazillionaire before Kellogg's even made their first box.
Wow.
That's fascinating. Wow.
Amazing.
Yeah.
I just love stuff like that. Rach, tell them other stuff I told you.
There was real cocaine in Coca-Cola.
Real cocaine, double the caffeine. Those were the days.
Pad Thai was invented by an American guy in, like, California, I think.
There's your underwater elephant version of this segment.
Yeah, they used to sell coke and, like, meth and, like, at the general store.
Yeah.
Not meth.
Make America great
again. I think, well, coke,
meth you have to, like, make.
Coke and other things, other drugs.
Uppers. Other uppers.
Other uppers.
Get Andrew calling Tony out.
You think they couldn't?
On his ancient drug
think they didn't
history.
Have the ability to cook meth. Yo,
they
didn't
call it
have
crystal meth. It's good for your
well,
head.
Yeah, like, meth you have to, like, specifically
had,
make to
whatever
be
they
meth.
Had, they had it. They had drugs. Opium.
Speaking
that's
of
one
documentaries.
Of them.
They did have opium.
Opium for sure.
They did,
oh,
have,
did
opium.
They have opium.
For sure they had opium.
For sure. But, like, every
same
one
thing.
Of these people that did this, at some point there was, like, a mistake. When this guy was making Coca-Cola, because he was dying of stomach cancer and he was a morphine addict, and he tried all this stuff, and it tasted like crap, and then he accidentally sprayed, like, bicarbonate, whatever that stuff's called, the carbonation, and he's like, woo! Huzzah!
He cured his morphine addiction with cocaine.
I would like to hear that one more time.
I think those were two separate stories. I don't think the two
was
were attached.
Was that in the show?
I think he had the addiction and he found the carbonation.
Yes.
Yeah. Those
I don't
two,
think they. I don't think they facts. Crossed paths.
He was also trying to cure his terrible fake beard in this show. It's a great show,
well,
though.
Getting his feet slapped by all the employees of Dr. Kellogg.
Was his name Pemberton? Wasn't that his name?
Look at
John
you.
John Pemberton.
Look at the big brain on Brad.
He loves food stuff. He reads all the blogs and such.
I do. There's a great This American Life about the Coca-Cola secret recipe that's well worth listening to.
He cheers this.
A Coca-Cola company.
He just
product.
Put his own medal on.
Thank you, Dave.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor. Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.
You're listening to The Dave Glover Show.
A few minutes shy of 5 p.m. DGS. Frank Cusimano joins us from News Channel 5. Hello, Frank.
Good to be with you, Dave.
So did the big matchup of the old men hold up last night? Did it deliver?
The Brady Breeze?
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, neither played unbelievably well. Breeze, in fact, was awful. But Brady did what he had to do. And he threw a couple of touchdowns. He ran for one. His stats were not glistening, but he does what Tom Brady does. And for the 14th time in his glitzy career, he's going back to a championship game. It's absolutely insane. Just imagine how good Joe Montana was in the postseason. Joe Montana has 45 touchdown passes in the postseason. Tom Brady has 77.
Wow. That's incredible.
I mean, is he the clearest example of the greatest of all time in any sport, in any position?
No. You know, it's interesting to bring that up. Is the one you can't debate about is the wide receiver spot, and that's Jerry Rice. No one can even argue that. There will be people that will argue that Aaron Rodgers is the most talented player to ever play the position. Now, look, if you have six Super Bowl rings, you're the greatest. But there's an argument there, but the whole package together, there's no debate with Jerry Rice. It leads to an unbelievable Sunday game, though, Dave. Rodgers, the most talented. Brady, the most decorated. It's in Green Bay. Brady's not afraid of the cold. Well, he won a lot of big games in New England. I just think that the Packers and the way Rodgers are playing right now, they're going to be awfully tough to beat at home.
And talk about that Kansas City game a little bit. You know, Cleveland was kind of the Cinderella darling of the whole thing. Hadn't been in the playoffs for almost 20 years and actually gave the Chiefs a little bit of a run for their money. What do you think about that game?
Well, the Chiefs are definitely a team on the come, and there's no doubt about it. Baker Mayfield's going to be a good quarterback in this league. What helped them, though, was when Patrick Mahomes went out with some type of injury. I can't believe the Chiefs haven't actually acknowledged it as a concussion. Maybe it's not, because the rumors are he's going to be on the practice field tomorrow. But, you know, we talk about the veterans in the NFC Championship game. How about the young guns at the quarterback spot in the AFC Championship game? There's nobody, you know, more talented than Patrick Mahomes, but this Josh Allen has absolutely been insane. He was a guy, it's so strange because they say you can't make a quarterback more accurate. This guy had the lowest completion percentage for 2 years. So what does he do in the offseason? He works with Carson Palmer and Tony Romo, and all of a sudden he becomes an accurate quarterback and one of the four or five best in the league.
Who do you like next weekend with two teams?
Well, if Mahomes plays, I definitely like the Chiefs, and I'm leaning towards the Packers against Tom Brady and the Bucs.
And the Blues are now 2-1, and we'll talk about that first, and then I want to talk a little about this new schedule, how you play every team twice. But what do you think of the Blues so far in these first three games?
Well, you know, the bad news for the Blues is they're hideous at killing the penalty. They've allowed 8 goals and 14 tries. They are hideous in not scoring on the power play. I think they were 0-for-5 last night. But the thing about it is, it doesn't matter. It's a, you know, it's a pass or fail league, and they're 2-1, and they're getting terrific play out of this young player, Jordan Kyrou, who may end up being a star. And look, you'll take 2 out of 3 for the rest of the season. We'll take that in a heartbeat.
And what do you think about this this scheduling system? I get it. Makes all the sense in the world from a traveling aspect. You play 2 games against every team instead of the traditional 1 game. Kind of sets up maybe even some rivalries if something bad, you know, something goes down in game one of a 2-game series. Maybe you don't have to wait months or until the next season before you see these guys again. You could get right back at them in the next day or two. What do you think about the NHL's decision to make the schedule this way?
I think it makes it kind of advantageous for gamblers. Like, let me just say, I'm not a gambler, but I would have bet the mortgage last Friday after the Blues beat the Avalanche that the Avalanche would come back and win at home because they're not going to lose 2 games at home to the Blues.
Mm-hmm.
And like,
they sure did.
I imagine that, you know, if the team is really good and they lose that first game at home, then you bet them the next game.
Yeah.
So it's going to be crazy because you're going to see the Avalanche 8 times in the regular season. If you see them in the postseason, you could see them 7. So that's 15 games against, you know, your arch rival in the West. And then maybe the same scenario with the Las Vegas Golden Knights.
What's going on with the 2 college basketball teams?
Okay, well, I just did a Zoom phone call with Travis Ford of the Billikens, and he really had COVID-19 bad. For 8 days, he was in really bad shape. They're starting to do individual workouts. They canceled the game Wednesday. I don't think there's any chance they're going to play Saturday. The best-case scenario for them is to play next Tuesday. But he's really worried about his players. He says, you know, we're doing like 15- and 20-minute workouts at a time individually. And he goes, they're not right. So, you know, while the Tigers, they only missed 2 games because of COVID. They didn't have an outbreak. Nearly every person associated with the Billiken basketball program got COVID-19. Now, the symptoms for the players weren't bad. That's the good news. But they've missed a lot of games. But they're still 25th in the country.
I saw the Cardinals are talking about the possibility of, I think, between 8,000 and 12,000 fans in the stadium, at Busch Stadium. Is that right out of the gate? Can you tell us about what the plans are there for the Cardinals and Major League Baseball in general with fans in the building this year?
They had their winter warm-up this weekend, and Bill DeWitt addressed that topic of 8,000 to 12,000 fans. They got to get approval from the city, and they're working closely with the city. But I think, you know, we're seeing that now in football stadiums where you had, you know, 7,000 in Buffalo last weekend, that we're going to have fans in the stands. And I guess that figure of 8 to 12 is going to be the number they're shooting for as we speak.
And speaking of those winter warm-ups, I read a story about offers coming out of the winter warm-up to both Molina and Wainwright, and those two guys are taking a look at those offers. Do you have any details on what those offers look like and what those guys are leaning
towards?
I don't
have the actual number, but I do find it kind of interesting that they basically said, here's the offer, Yachty, here's the offer, Waino, and you, if you like it, okay. And if you don't like it, go get another offer, but then maybe come back to us before you make your final decision.
So you think that's it?
Because they're doing the smart thing. They don't want to negotiate against themselves.
Mm-hmm.
It's like the way 97 has dealt with Dave Glover, that, you know, we really like you, but go see if you can find an offer at 98. And if you don't, you'll have to take ours.
Man, if you know how close you were right now in that Tim Convy, just look out.
Mm-hmm.
All right, buddy. Thank you, Frank. Appreciate it.
All right, guys. Take care.
So Joe Exotic has a limo waiting for him.
Yeah.
In prison.
He is very confident that
he knows.
Going to get pardoned.
Do you think he will? I mean, does he really know that, or is this just...
I mean, if there's anyone with less credibility, I don't know who that would be.
Why would Trump? Well, we'll see.
This is one of those I get in trouble for. Like, people get pulled over and then they, like, give the cop a taco and I say, let him go. Like, I know that he's a bag of crap, but it would just really put the punctuation at the end of the sentence if Trump were to pardon Joe Exotic.
Think there's going to be a long list of pardons?
Oh, yeah.
Tonight or tomorrow morning?
No, for sure. They're saying over 100. Here's my take on pardons. And it's not like I've done exhausted research, not like Andrew has done into food. But this was originally meant for people who had either been wrongly convicted or rightfully convicted and owned up to it, and I've turned my life around. Like, this is for rare people.
Right.
And this is not about Trump. I'm not sure who he's going to.
Yeah.
Who's going to, you know. It's all the modern presidents. Mm-hmm. Stop giving pardons to your buddies.
Yeah. Yeah, it happens at the end of every presidency.
Everyone. Mm-hmm. And there's a reason it happens on the last day. Because they don't want to get blamed for
it. Because it's controversial many times.
Yeah. But
and
just.
They don't want to live with
it. We absolutely ruin everything. It's. The president, the chief executive, gets to pardon people in these circumstances, and it just turned into this.
Do you think even, I can't even believe I'm asking this question, all of this that's happening right now, maybe the people, some people, the more controversial ones that he had planned on pardoning, he's like,
right.
I mean,
he should.
I've goofed so badly here at the end.
He should let him stay in prison.
Or do you think he will?
Doesn't need,
or do you think it's like he's going to just
he
trump his way through?
Throw them under the, they're not even under the bus. You're convicted. You're in prison.
Right.
But strategically, don't do anything else out the door that makes you look dumb or like a bad person. But it's Trump. I think he's going to do what he wants to do. But my advice would be let him stay in prison.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.